to Rising Above with Becky Davidson.
Even if worst case scenario happens, I'm not going to live in fear, because I know my God is able. And even if his grand will and plan is I don't survive this, I'm still not going to succumb to that fear and doubt, because I know my God is good. I'm going to trust him.
Welcome to Rising Above with Becky Davidson, where we hear from special needs families who rise above difficult circumstances and discover that joy can be found in every story. Thank you for joining us. Here's your host, Becky Davidson.
Hey, friends. I can hardly believe it, but we are just 1 month away from By the Brook 2024, and we are so excited about this year's event because we are going to be live and in person here in Cookeville, Tennessee, and we already have moms from coast to coast who are going to be joining us here at our live location in Cookeville, and we would love for you to join us as well. Now, if you can't be here in person, no worries at all. You can join us virtually, and we will have a link to all of the information that you need in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. I would love to get to meet you in person, so I hope you can join us here on June 21st and 22nd, either live or join us virtually from your own home or from one of our amazing host sites. We are starting a new series this week on the podcast where we will be talking for the next few weeks about some of the what ifs that we face as special needs parents and how we can move from a place of being fearful about all of the worst case scenarios to a place where we trust God with all of our what ifs and move to a place where we can say, even if instead. So I'm joined by the one and only Steve Chapman from here at our team at Rising Above. And we had such a great conversation about some of the biggest fears that we face as families living with disabilities and what God's Word has to say about those fears. So here's the conversation that I had with Steve Chapman. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Becky.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I've been out for a little bit, you know, with JA being sick, but I'm back.
And you're back.
So it's
and
good to
you're
see.
Back, and we got a lot going on.
I'm telling you, like, I think even us finding a few minutes to sit down to record this podcast episode, it's been interesting.
It has been a busy spring, and we're now stretching into summer, for sure. Yeah.
I feel like I missed all of, like, the last part of winter, spring. I feel like I'm just like, okay, wait a minute. How are we already here in this point in the year? It's crazy. And when I looked at your calendar trying to find a time for us to record, I'm like, Steve, when are you breathing, you know, with all this going on?
It happens like that. It seems like you'll have these lulls, and then I think you kind of get used to that. Mm-hmm. You sort of, this is kind of okay. And then all of a sudden you look at your calendar, you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is coming up. This is happening. Mm-hmm. I got to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, with events and things that we do, you got to think months out.
Right.
And so you, even though the event may be 6 months out, it's like, oh, I need to be doing things. And but it's all good.
It's all good.
You know, we got good stuff going on and happening. And
So, good stuff. Well, we're starting a new series here at the podcast, and it's talking about how we can move from thinking about all the what ifs that surround this special needs life to going to the place of even if, and trusting that God's got us even if our what ifs actually happen. And so that's the thing. I mean, I really struggle with this. This is an area I've said on this show before, I can tend to be a worst case scenario girl. I mean, when we're planning events, I mean, like, I'm the one who's like, have we thought about this? Have we thought, security patrol, you know, do we have all these things covered? And I think a lot of us on this team are like that too.
Yes.
But how do you land on things? Do you worry about things, or are you more of a just kind of, I just go with the flow?
Well, I definitely come from a pretty good line of worriers, you know, so I think that's in my DNA to worry. But I also, it's like, and that was probably my mom's side. My dad's side was much more, you know,
it'll be
okay. Yeah. You know, dad would sleep through horrible, horrible thunderstorms, you know, tornado warnings. Mom would have us all up in the middle of the night in the innermost room praying, you know. And so I have a little bit of both.
Right. So how do you kind of fall? Does it just depend on the situation or?
Well, it seems a little crazy, but I feel like the older I get, and maybe I'm just tired.
Mm.
I just don't. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I just don't have the energy to worry about that. So I'm going to choose not to.
Just not even going to think about
it. I mean, that's not really spiritual, but yeah. I do. I think sometimes I'm just like, you know what? There's so many other things going on. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, of course I was, when my mom passed away, I remember thinking, I was like, well, who's going to worry about everything now?
Oh, how funny.
You know, it's like, cause mom
I'm not going to take
worried
that
about everything for us, you know? And, so I don't know. I'm probably laying in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere in
know,
the middle,
I guess.
Mine generally stem around John Alex.
Sure.
You know, my what ifs and all that generally come out of my concerns, over him and parenting him. But I think this conversation is going to be great because, you know, moms and dads, I think sometimes come at it from different perspectives and the things that maybe moms are more concerned about. Dads, maybe not so much, but there's going to be things like even just in the conversation we had before we hit record, I was like, I hadn't even really thought about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see how that could be a worry.
Sure.
So, you know, based on the conversation that you've had with other dads, you know, you work with dads all across the country, and based on some of those conversations that you've had with dads, like at base camp and when you do dads hang time, what are some of the things that you see come up over and over again with those dads when they think about the what ifs of the disability life?
Yeah. Well, you know, and dad's concerned about a lot of the same things that mom's concerned about, you know, what if my child gets sick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have one of our two daughters with special needs that won't always tell you what's going on. And I know for you, a lot of times it's he can't tell
me. Right.
And so you worry about those things like, are we doing the right thing?
Right.
Are we getting them the help they need? But I think one of the things for dads that I hear a lot too is dads oftentimes wonder, you know, concern over how is this affecting my marriage relationship, with my wife? And how is, what if, you know, our relationship deteriorates because maybe our child requires so much attention and help. So I think that's probably maybe more unique to dads. Just what if, you know, we stop being close? What if we don't make time for our relationship? And then, of course, I think just like with everybody, every probably special needs parent, this, you know, what if I'm not there.
Right.
You know, what if this is, and of course for dads too, I think from a lot of times, and this may be a little more stereotypical because it's not always this way, but you know, what if I lose my job?
Yeah.
You know, if, because most of the time, you know, the mom, even if they both work, the mom will stay home and becomes a primary caregiver. Not always. I do know several dads that it's just the opposite, but I think that's always that concern. Like, what if I lose my job?
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, realize, hey, there's new expenses, there's new challenges. Mm-hmm. We try to do some things and, you know, how will we do that? So those are some things that stick out. I think I see dads concerning about and questioning a lot of times.
Yeah. And, you know, the job piece, I know Jeff worried about that when he was alive.
Sure.
But that's, you know, I haven't really even given that much thought now that I'm the primary, breadwinner of our family. And, you know, it's just interesting, the different perspectives. And I was kind of surprised when you said about the dads concerned about their marriage relationship. I hear that from the moms, but I'm glad to know that is something that's on the hearts of dads.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just that, you know, that fear of like, well, what if something happened to our marriage? What if we, split up?
Yeah.
Well, then what does that look like? I mean, that's difficult enough.
Right.
Just with neurotypical kids, but what if that were to happen? So,
No, it's so true. And, you know, I know just like from some of the moms that I work with and you know, have community with, a lot of it is like, am I doing enough? Like, am I missing anything? It's just like, I feel like so many times we as moms, we're just striving and we're just trying to like, I feel like sometimes I just want to gather, like I want to gather everybody in because I can keep everybody safe if I've gathered everybody in.
Yeah.
And you know, just striving and running and trying to find the next thing that's going to be a help. And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It is exhausting. And so, you know, when you look at your life as a dad and when I look at my life as a mom and you see the other parents that we have community with, we work with, What happens to us when we live in that place of what if?
Well, you can end up in a dark pit for sure, because that worry can just strangle you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it chokes out. I mean, that's, Jesus even talks about that. It's like, you think about with the parable of the sower, of course it's context there, but you know, he basically, one of the things he says, you know, the sower went forth and sowed, and some fell on, you know, rocky soil, but some, he says, fell on good soil, but then the cares of this life and world choked it out.
Yeah.
And that, I think that can happen for us, is just that worry about the what ifs. So your heart is in the right place and like, okay, I want to make sure this, I want to make sure I'm doing this right, this right, this right. But when you start worrying about it, Jesus even said that. He said, who of you can add one thing to your life by worrying? So what happens though, my good intention becomes futile because the worrying about it chokes out actually doing anything about it or making that, you know, that decision of like, can't do anything about that. No point to worry about it. I can maybe do something here. So let me focus on that and what I can do. And so I think definitely it can just, it can choke you out and it can paralyze you.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
You just, you do nothing. You overthink it to death and then you start worrying about it.
We don't overthink things. Steve, what are you talking about?
Oh my goodness. And then, you just that paralysis and, I think that would probably be one of the biggest things I think can happen is, and then that, of course, then it just spiral because then that just adds on just one more thing that you feel guilty.
Right.
That, you know, I haven't got anything done. I'm just worried about it all day, you know. And
So have you noticed that for you in your life, like so many things that we worry about, like they never even end up happening. Like the things, like I may think these worst case scenarios and then they never.
Right.
They never come to pass. And so I've wasted all this time worrying about this.
We do that about everything, though, don't we? I mean, even in things where there's clear evidence and statistics, you know, from unless this has changed, you know, statistics show that air travel is the safest.
Right.
But yet I'm still,
like, I don't fly.
I still get nervous about flying. You know, it's just like, I know, but I'm, you know, I may be that
because
one out of a thousand that, you know.
But it is happens. It a control thing? Because when you're driving, you know.
Well, it is. You feel like you have a little control.
Yeah.
Although the reality is you have no control over all the other people around you. But in a flight, it's like, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. I don't know how to fly this plane. We're 30,000 feet in the air. Yeah. You know, there's like, I don't have a parachute. So, I mean, But no, I think that is true. I think there are a lot of the things we do worry about, it never really, they become worst case scenarios. And it's like, that probably isn't going to happen. Yeah. And then sometimes too, even if this does happen, it might not be as bad as you're thinking. And this is a big one for me, just as a believer, I so quickly forget that, you know what? God often does his greatest work.
Yeah.
In the worst case scenarios, or even not the not so worst case, but just scenarios I would rather not have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was just listening to a sermon the other day and he was talking about, you know, when God led Israel out of Egypt, he put them between a rock and a hard place. He put them between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, but that was exactly where he wanted them because he knew he was about to do something amazing and show them and Pharaoh who the one true God is. But can you imagine, you know, in that moment, you're trapped. It's like, there's nothing I can do. This is worst case scenario. Yeah. And Israel, I mean, they felt like that, you know, I mean, because they started questioning, like, maybe we shouldn't have left, all this stuff. But so I think sometimes we forget that God oftentimes works in those hard places.
Yeah, and can show up big and you can, you know, and how often, I mean, I don't want to do the hard. I don't want the worst case scenario because I think it's going to be so hard, you know, and just all the things I tell myself and then it's really not true, you know. Especially when, like I said, when it comes to John Alex and his health and what's going on with him, that will get me every.
Sure.
That is my area. And so, you know, I'm inviting God to come in and do what needs to be done in my heart here because I don't like this. I don't like feeling like this. And so that's the beauty of this whole series is that we're basically going to be taking, it's actually two of our Rising Above studies that we have available on our website. And we're going to be talking honestly about both of them. And this episode, we're going to be talking about the what ifs. And we have a study on our website that's on What If, and we're going to talk about a few of the things that are there. But if you want to go into more detail, our families can go and download that on the website and do it with their spouse or with a small group. And so, you know, one of the things that in that series is kind of we lay out some of the biggest what ifs that we've encountered that other special needs parents deal with. And so let's unpack some of those things. Some of these are some of the things that are in that series. And, you know, this is one that I'm looking back, and I know for you because your girls are adopted, and so this would not be so much in your story, but, you know, thinking like, are my child, are John Alex's special needs a result of something that I did?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I thought it was because of sin, but I know a lot of people do. I think mine would have been more like, did I eat the wrong thing? Did I do the, you know, what did I do something? And honestly, looking back, I was like, no, I took really good care of myself. I did everything that I felt I was, you know, supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of families, a lot of parents deal with that. I think the biggie is, I mean, I remember having a friend and she was like, did my sin cause this? Have you heard dads talk about that or any of the parents that you've ministered to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's, and I think they do because in my mind, I think that is a primary tactic that the enemy, you know, of our peace, the enemy of our soul, the devil, Satan, the Bible calls him. I mean, you know, Jesus said he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. He's a liar. He said he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He's a murderer. He does not want us having any peace. And so, but he also, I think that's just to kind of, you know, get you to, you know, to go there, you know, and to, because we tend to take responsibility, especially if we have a child with special needs, we start taking a lot of responsibility for their care, for their well-being. So then just naturally, I'm going to maybe take responsibility for their disability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you can't do that because you will never, ever, ever be able to prove that that's the case, that it's your fault.
Yeah.
Secondly, and probably more importantly, I don't think it's good theology. You know, I mean, you know, we've often talked about the John 9 passage where the disciples see the man born blind and they're like, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one of them sinned. And he even points out that says this illness, this blindness is actually for the glory of God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, gets back to, and we'll hit on some of that later, but just God has a purpose in everything, whether we like it or not, you know, and so, but he doesn't see it like that, you know, and it's like, so I think one, just to realize that that's, and then thirdly, I would say that's not how God deals with my sin. You know, it's not like, okay, well, since you did that, I'm going to do, you know? And, but I think we oftentimes operate in an economy like that.
Yep.
It's like, well, if you mess up, you go to jail. If you do this, you're going to get this. If you hit, I'm going to hit you back.
Yeah.
But we've got to remember when it comes to my sin, that's not how God deals with my sin. Mm. God dealt with my sin on the cross. Yeah. He made him to be sin for us. Mm-hmm. He who knew no sin in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
So that's how he dealt with my sin. So I have to, you know, I just need to erase that what if.
Right.
That, well, what if this is because I sinned? It's not. Mm-hmm. You'll never be able to prove that it was. And I think the scripture shows us many places that that's not who God is. That's not how God operates.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, that's just, again, you've got to, that's one of those things I think Paul talked about, Peter talked about, you got to take those thoughts captive.
Right.
I think it's 2 Peter 1. You got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to the truth and just say, that's a lie from the devil. I'm not going to let that, you know, dwell in my mind. I'm going to take that captive.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, such a good point, what you were saying about like, God is not this, he's not up there looking to go, oh, look, see, look right there.
Right.
Look, they messed up again. So now I'm going to zap them.
Right. Exactly.
And I think so many of us have had that opinion of like, oh my goodness, if I step one step off the path, well, he's going to, you know, I'm going to get smacked and get knocked back in line.
Right. And now, I think a distinction could be made, and that is this. It's like, you know, my sin is taken care of. Consequences
Absolutely.
For irresponsible, sinful behavior,
right.
I may have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a case would be fetal alcohol syndrome.
Right.
You know, or, you know, these crack babies. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I make those kind of bad choices,
they're consequences.
That's consequences,
right.
Again, you know. And so, just, I mean, that's a, I mean, I could hear someone say, well, what about this?
Right.
Yeah, that I would think that's a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, again, that's a rare,
right.
That's a minority.
Right.
I think for so many, it's like, no, it's not because you were this rebellious mm-hmm. teenager and now, you know,
right.
it's just not that.
And God, he's a good and loving father.
Yes.
And, you know, I look at my life with John Alex and where it's not what I would have chosen.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, God, for giving me John Alex.
Right.
Thank you, God, for giving me John Alex. Yeah. And so I think it's that whole perspective shift and learning to see God for who he really is and mm-hmm. that he wants what's best for us, even though to us, like, I want the easy way, Steve. I
sure,
want everything
sure.
easy peasy. I don't want the
yeah.
hard.
And I agree.
So that... yeah, that is a biggie.
Yeah.
But I think just like that, the John 9:1-3, those verses have just like been such a blessing to our family over
yeah.
the years. And I know so many other families
right.
who live in with disabilities.
Yes,
so,
for sure.
Okay, another one is, what if I can't protect my child? And, you know, like for me, goodness, you know, my son's nonverbal and
yeah.
he can't tell me when something's going on. When he was in school, that was always such a big thing because here I'm taking in my child who cannot tell me what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so hard. So what are some of the biggest concerns, you know, when we look at the safety of our children that you've come across?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, especially if you have a nonverbal, you have a child that, you know, is in a wheelchair or has mobility issues, you know, you worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we send our girls to public school and, you know, I mean, you worry. What if,
yeah.
you know, why if somebody going to bully them? Somebody going to pick on
mm-hmm.
them? Are they going to be able, you know, to even tell you if something happened to them?
Right.
And that's a big fear. That's a big, just like, I don't know. And again, because we get so in this protective mode, going to protect our kids,
mm-hmm.
but then you find yourself in those situations where it's like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that
mm-hmm.
In that case. And then again, you know, especially with the nonverbal, it's like, well, they can't tell me.
Right.
So how am I even going to know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can just let yourself spiral
yeah.
down that
yeah.
rabbit hole of the what ifs and
mm-hmm.
what ifs and what ifs
mm-hmm.
and what ifs and what ifs. And drive yourself crazy
yeah.
with that fear,
mm.
which is what fear does.
It does.
It's debilitating.
It is. Well, you know, when John Alex was in school, every day on the way to school, we prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always pray, you know, for God to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
I would pray that if there was anything going on that I needed to know about, that God would let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, you know, just I had specific things
mm-hmm.
regarding
yep.
his safety that I would pray for. And Steve, I will tell you, time and time again, I will call them little birds. I would have these mm-hmm. little birds that would come and whisper, you know, like other people there
yeah,
in the school system
absolutely.
Who would say,
yes.
don't say that I told you this, but you
right.
may want to check on this.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and so
sure.
every single time, well, I wouldn't say every single, I'm sure there were things that I don't know about, but...
Yeah.
God would, when there were things I needed to know,
yeah.
God would let me know. And he always had people in the schools protecting him,
yeah.
protecting John Alex. And I remember, you know, when you have a child who's nonverbal, requires so much care, whoever is assigned to work with them, it's so huge, you know,
mm-hmm.
whoever that person is. And so I would always pray, if there's anybody working with John Alex who should not be working with him, please remove them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then when there was a change in staffing, I didn't worry. I was like, okay, God, you're going to send in, you know, who
right.
needs to be here.
Right.
And every time it worked out for John Alex's benefit. And so I could trust because I every day I'm like, Lord, I need you to move here.
No, sure.
So do you have a time like that you can look back and go, like you were concerned about something, but you know that God protected your family?
Well, yeah, no, same thing. I mean, we pray and we still do every day, you know, drop the girls off. And then, and I would always pray too, just like, God, let there be good students that see them, you know? Yeah. So like if there's ever a kid that maybe is going to pick on them, that a good student sees it and steps in on their behalf, you know, just let that good Samaritan always, because there's kids are there. And I think that's happened a lot of times. I'm sure times I don't even know about. But yeah, you know, of course, I mean, our biggest one is a horror story. I mean, our daughter actually escaped
from school. I forgot about that.
Totally.
Yes.
Which she, you know, she does. She's escaped from our home. But, you know, to think about God watching over.
Oh,
I mean, so
goodness.
she got out of the school. And, of course, they're immediately searching the school. Well, she's out of the school, though.
Like,
and
she's so out.
She's literally
off this property.
Got off school property, walked, and is walking down a pretty busy street. And the way we found her was someone driving by recognized. Or at least they thought, you know, I think the daughter of one of these guys, I was on church staff at the time, but one of the pastors at the church, I think I just saw her. And obviously she has Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this person pulled over. This person didn't really know us, knew who we were, and didn't really know Emily, but she pulled over and waited until, you know, someone got there.
Yeah.
And then she even made sure they were legit. You know,
so she called the school.
She called the school,
yeah,
and said, I think one of the pastor's daughters. So again, there's just God, what? Even though,
yeah,
you know, you look back and think, oh my goodness. And you think back how far she got. But even then, you know, you realize God was protecting her, and that person right at the perfect time drove by, saw her, recognized her, and then pulls over and stops there to make sure that the right people get her. And so, you know, you just like, there wasn't a thing I could do, but I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, until it's happened, but God was watching over her, and we just have to trust that.
Hey friends, this is Melanie Gomez, and I just want to encourage you to find a way to get yourself to buy the book. It's coming up soon, and it is going to be such a great experience. I'll tell you what, we are all going to leave that place different than we were when we walked in. It's going to be a really great time, and I look forward to seeing you there.
God was watching over her, and we just have to trust that.
And so how do we combat for this particular what if? Like, what if I can't protect my child?
Well,
and the reality is
that's not a what if.
Yeah.
That's when I can't
protect. Because
I can't protect them from everything. I can't do that with my neurotypical kids. I can do that with myself.
Right, exactly.
Honestly.
Right.
And yet we work so hard to insulate ourselves from anything difficult, pain, or harmful, but we can't.
Yeah.
We can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus even told us, he said, hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
And he said, but take heart, I've overcome this world, and we can put our hope and trust there that no matter what. But that's just, we can't, and we have to trust. You know, we have to trust God. And I mean, for me, you know, every time you drop him off at that school, I mean, it's Moses' mom in Exodus 2 putting him in that basket and just saying, it says she hid him as long as she could. And then when she knew, I can't protect him any longer, she had to put him in that basket and release him and trust God. And I think that's ultimately where we have to get and be like, God, I'm trusting. You know, I know I can't.
Yeah.
So.
And they're safer in God's protection than under my, you know.
I know it doesn't always feel that way.
I know, trust me.
But it's flesh,
yeah.
But yes, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So another biggie is, what if I don't make the right decisions for my child? And like, this is so, you know, for those of us who have kids with medical needs, you know, and when they can't, you know, when John Alex can't tell me how he's feeling or what's going on, I'm always like, Lord, help me give me wisdom, because I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. And I need your help. So what are some of the unique challenges like that our families in the disability space face when it comes to decision making for our kids?
Yeah. Well, I think obviously, you know, like you said, there's so many therapies. Are we doing the right therapies? Somebody will talk about it, something they're doing. Like, well, maybe we should be doing that. Are we doing that? Do we need to find that? Do we need to work that into our schedule? Here's oh, here's another thing. Well, you know, what's the latest vitamins? What's the latest treatment? You know, I mean, and that's always evolving, which is good. We're learning things. I mean, you know, we're doing things with our kids that 100 years ago weren't, right. We weren't doing. Mm-hmm. So it's good, but, you know, you can't do everything. And so I think we worry, am I doing the right thing? What about, am I doing everything I can for their socialization? And with that, it's like, am I pushing them enough? Am I pushing them too much? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, where is that line? Yeah. 'Cause you know, you'll look at someone who maybe has a similar diagnosis and you see them doing something and you're like, gosh, I feel lame because we don't do that. Maybe I should be pushing my child to do that or to do more of that. I think, am I empowering my child or am I, especially those of us who are dealing with disabilities where they're a little more higher functioning, mm-hmm. there's always that fear of like, am I doing too much? Am mm-hmm. I enabling them to not do, to reach their potential? And so you worry about, you know, should I have done this or not? And for them or, you know, I mean, and again, this list could go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
Am I making the right decisions? Because you're going to, and here's the thing, we're going to make different decisions and God has entrusted these individuals to our care mm-hmm. and therefore he's entrusted us and the decisions that we make. And here's the reality. I'm going to make wrong decisions. I've made wrong decisions about my own life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make wrong decisions, mm-hmm. but a wrong decision doesn't necessarily have to define my life.
Right.
You know? And so, but I need to just seek counsel, mm-hmm. pray, make my decisions, mm-hmm. and then not constantly second guess every decision that I make. Yeah. Because the way I choose to parent may look very different, but that's going to be true even with neurotypical mm-hmm. kids. So it's the same even with our special needs kids.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, don't let yourself get strangled mm-hmm. and choked with worrying. Make the best decisions, educate yourself the best you can, and then make the best decision. Mm-hmm. For your child.
Yeah.
And to your, like you were saying earlier, trusting that, you know what? God will let you know mm-hmm. if it's not. And it's just not. Trust that he will, that he'll bring somebody to you. He'll mm-hmm. cause you to understand something you didn't.
Yeah.
And just trust that.
Yeah.
But it can be hard. There's no question about it.
Well, and I know, you know, you're married. And so you and Lori can have conversations with each other when you're trying to make a decision. And when Jeff was alive, we talked about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like I didn't make a decision about John Alex's care without talking to Jeff. And so when he died, oh my goodness, that was a huge hole that was left. And the pressure that I felt to make decisions on my own, you know, I always, I had God with me, but not having that person to bounce things back and forth with. And so thank goodness my sister is that, you know, one of those, I call her right away. Okay. Yeah. If I'm not sure, I'll call her and be like, I need your help. What do I do? You know, what are your thoughts on this? Mm-hmm. Pray with me about this. And I have a group of people, you know, God sent me people for different areas that I was going to face when Jeff died, an attorney, a lawyer, a banker, you know, all these different areas that I have people, doctors who've been amazing friends who've helped us, medical people. Mm. And so not feeling, I finally got to the place of like, I'm not by myself. God has brought people to help me. And I think that's important for us to let people in to our story, let people, you know, go seek that counsel. There are people who know more about certain things than I do. And
absolutely.
So not feeling like I have to all on my own make those decisions, you know.
Yeah.
And so how does prayer come into this for you when you're making decisions? What does that look like for you?
Well, you just, I think you seek counsel, whether that's spouse, friends, family. And then, then just pray through. Pray, God, give me wisdom. And to me, it's always been just, and if I'm wrong, show me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm wrong, just show me.
Mm-hmm.
Close the door, send someone to say, hey, just think about this. And I think, again, that's where you just have to trust.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, a lot of that's going to depend on where your walk and where your relationship mm-hmm. with God is and being able to be in that place where you do trust him and you just say, Lord, here's what I'm thinking. And as I've tried to do what I know to do, I'm trusting that you're going to give the wisdom that I need and you're going to show me if I'm wrong on mm-hmm. this. You know, with husband and wife and while that is, you pointed out, you know, that's a great thing to have that person. But at the same time, what if you disagree?
Right.
You know, well, then again, I think that's where you have to pray and just say, mm-hmm. Lord, we need to, you know, help us to see if one of us are wrong, or mm-hmm. if there's a compromise somewhere in the middle, what that looks like. And so, again, that's just, you're just inviting God's wisdom mm-hmm. into your decision making. Yeah. And you can't go wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm always like, God, just invite you into mm-hmm. this conversation, yeah. into this decision that we're trying to make here, and just mm-hmm. pray for that wisdom to make mm-hmm. the right decision.
Yeah, and then creating a space where you can be quiet long enough sure. to hear. You know, I know so often I'm like, I'm praying and it's very much so one-sided. I'm just blah, sure, blah, blah, you know. Sure. And it's like, no, just creating that space of just sitting and being yeah. still, and instead of having all the noise all the time. Most of the time the noise is right up here in my head,
oh,
though.
Oh, sorry.
You know,
sure,
but
sure.
trying to calm that down. And
yeah, and that's a great point. And sometimes it's just you've got to make sure that you give space mm-hmm. for God.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're so go, go, go.
Yeah.
And quick that we forget, just be okay to be still with mm-hmm. this for 24 hours, yeah. maybe, you know, and just to wait.
And some decisions don't have to be made at that second, you know, like
sure.
some
and
are.
Some
but
do, but even you think about like Nehemiah, I mean, when he was put in a situation, he had to make a quick decision. It says he quickly prayed, Lord,
Show me what to do.
God yeah. knows, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes God may say, "Hey, we don't have to decide this tonight.
Yeah,
you know, just
go to bed,
sleep on this, and I'll show you something yeah. in the morning." And you yeah. know,
so true. Yeah. Okay, Steve, the biggie.
The biggie.
This is the biggie because this is the one that I hear so many times from parents, and it's, "What if there's no one to care for my child when I'm no longer here?"
Yeah.
And that, you know. My late husband, that was his big thing. He said, "I want to live one day longer than yeah. John Alex."
Yeah. yeah.
Well, that didn't happen,
right.
you know. And so here we are, you know, I'm a single parent. J.A. has no siblings. And so that is a valid sure. concern in my world. Now, the beautiful thing is God has provided mm-hmm. many people who are like, "Oh, if something happens to you, I got John Alex. Don't worry about it." You know, and
right.
so,
sure,
so
yeah.
that has been a blessing. But what are some of the worries that you've encountered personally in your family with this in particular? What if, and you yeah. have you guys created a plan? And
sure. Well, no, I think you're right. I mean, that's the biggie, and it probably looks different for mm-hmm. a lot of us. You know, your scenario is very different than mine,
right?
And someone else's may be very different as well, and it is. I mean, the future, right? I mean, we worry about that. We have no control over it whatsoever. And you know, I think just reminding ourselves of a couple things that going back, you know, God created our children. He created them with a plan and a purpose. I mean, you know, and nothing will stop that. You know, mm-hmm. Job says that in Job 42. He talks about, you know, nothing is going to thwart God's plan. You create, you do what you're going to do. And he's got a plan and purpose. Psalms 139, you know, all the days of my life are recorded mm-hmm. in your book before even one of them came to being. So God in his sovereignty has all of this. He knows what he's doing. God says, Jeremiah 29, "I know the plans I have for you." So God is a God of order and plan. So he has a plan and purpose for our kids' life. He didn't consult us on that either, right?
You know, no, it's just did not.
This is what
yeah.
I'm going to do.
yeah.
So I have to trust that.
Right.
And here's the thing that I have to realize is that plan that God has for my disabled child mm-hmm. might outlive me.
Yeah.
I may not be here. You know, yes, mm-hmm. that whole thing is like, I want to live one more day, you know, and see mm-hmm. them, you know, live their life and then I don't have to worry about that, right? But that doesn't always happen.
Right.
And so we can make plans and we should, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, our girls have siblings, but we don't know the future, you know?
Right.
I mean, these, you know, folks are living longer today, and with that, it's going to come challenges as they age and you know, and siblings step in. But, you know, it may get harder and harder. You know, our neurotypical kids may actually have it harder with their siblings than we
right.
did with our child, because just they've gotten older and mm-hmm. their needs and conditions are changing. You know, so their life might even be harder.
Yeah.
The encouraging thing is I see so many siblings that do step in
mm-hmm.
and take care of their brother, sister yeah. with disabilities after their parents have passed. And they are some of the most amazing mm-hmm. people on the planet.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And I think for those of us that have neurotypical children, that's our hope and right. prayer is that they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
On a practical side, some of the things that we have done, you know, I mean, we've done the financial planning thing.
Right.
You know, we've got things set up in our trusts and wills. And our desire was to try to make whoever that is that has to step in if we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
That we've done everything we can, and that's going to look different for everybody.
Right.
But we've done everything we can from a financial standpoint to make sure that they have resources, mm-hmm. they have things. It's, you know, to lessen that hardship as much as we can. But ultimately, again, there it's a trust thing.
Yeah.
It's like, God, you know, that's something I cannot mm-hmm. control. Show me what I can do in this life,
right?
And then the rest, I'm going to have to trust
mm-hmm.
you and your sovereignty yeah. and your plan that I don't always mm-hmm. know fully what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's no yeah. surprise to God that I have a son with profound special needs.
Absolutely.
It's no surprise to God that my husband died 7 years
right.
ago. He
yes.
knew that I was going to be in this place. He knew that John Alex, you know, where we would be.
Yeah.
He hasn't left us. He hasn't changed. Nothing.
Right.
He, you know, he didn't, this isn't a surprise to him.
Right.
And so I think this is where, like for me being in the situation I'm in, you know, I do have a family member who's like, oh, I've totally got him. We won't, don't even worry
yeah.
about it. Like I remember after Jeff died, just calling my sister, just like, what am I going to do? And she's like, why are you worrying about this? We've
yeah.
got this. Don't even worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then also like community and friends who are like, why are you, you know, we're not going to just
yeah.
let him not be taken care of. Like if
right.
something happens, don't worry about that. And so I think we have to make the space to allow, like I said earlier, allow people into our story, allow people into our life,
mm-hmm.
create those relationships so that when things do happen, that the
yeah.
people are just like, we are here. We are we may not be
yeah.
blood, but we're family and we're going to step in.
No, absolutely. And we have to allow that, and that can be hard.
Yeah.
Especially as parents. Sometimes we don't think anybody
mm-hmm.
knows how to do what
right.
we do. And they probably don't to that
yeah.
degree, but we can educate
mm-hmm.
and we can do what, again, that's doing what we can do and then the rest
yeah.
trusting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, that does speak to the value of community and
mm-hmm.
being known and having people, letting
yeah.
people into your life, you
mm-hmm.
know, because that's one of the challenges, especially it's parenting, is isolation.
Right.
And sometimes we have to be intentional about not
mm-hmm.
letting that become our story.
Yeah.
And stepping out there sometimes into uncomfortable situations, and sometimes educating those around us
mm-hmm.
to better understand. But
yeah.
because, yeah, it's we need that, you know? And
yeah.
again, thinking that I'm doing this for my child.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm expanding the circle around
right.
us.
Who uh-huh. knows how to care for my child, who knows,
yeah.
you know, all those things. It's just, it's so important.
Yes.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about fear and worry and all those things and things that we think about and all the what ifs, but there are some practical things that we can do daily to help mm-hmm. us fight these fears. Do you
yeah.
have anything in your life that are just kind of like when fear starts to come in, when worry starts to come in that you like,
mm-hmm.
And you sense it, that you have these steps that you put into place to combat that fear and worry?
Well, I don't know necessarily about steps, but for me, for a long, long time, what the Lord has taught me is my best defense, my best weapon against fear and worry and those kind of things is truth,
mm-hmm.
is truth. And I get in trouble when I don't focus on truth and I don't let what I know to be true
mm-hmm.
rule in my now knowing truth doesn't mean I know what the outcome is going to be or I know how this is going to work out, but what I have to focus on what I do know is
right.
truth. The fear comes when I focus on that unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of unknowns in our world
right.
that we just don't know and
right.
things we can't control. But I can focus on that truth. You know, I mean, you think about so many times in the Bible, in the story of God, he will tell his people, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the disciples on the stormy seas, and he was like, why are you so afraid? You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm right here with you.
Yeah.
But do you see this? Yeah, it's a storm, and you're going to have storm. I'm not going to just, it's not going to be smooth sailing,
yeah.
But I'm with you, you know.
See, but I want the easy life, Steve. I want the easy. I signed up for the easy life.
The worst verse in the Bible is in John 16, I think it is, where Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Isaiah 43, you know, he talks about when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
Fear not, for I have called you. I have redeemed you.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that truth, you know, taking those thoughts captive and just saying, God, what's the truth? What do I know to be true here? Yeah. And I have to hold on to that, you know, because if I don't, I'll let myself fall into that pit or be paralyzed, strangled with that fear of the unknowns and things I can't control. Yeah. And so for me, it's I've got to remember to go back to what I know to be true. And then for me, that's mostly God's word.
Right.
What does God's word say about this? What does God's word teach me and has taught me?
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
And what can I stand on even in this, even if I don't know? You know, I mean, I can remember a season and just really, really struggling and really, and I just had to keep coming back to, but God, I trust you. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But your word says that everything you do is good and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Psalms 147. I said, God, I'm just going to choose to trust you.
Yeah.
That's the truth I would just fall on every time.
Yeah.
And I just, and then I could breathe.
Yeah.
And I could go.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And some, like for me, sometimes I have to speak that trust out, even if I don't believe it in the moment.
Yeah.
But go, all right, I trust you. I remember like in that trusting, I'll call to mind the things that he's done in the past for us, you know, and in doing that, then I may not feel it initially, but that trust builds and that faith builds when I do that. And honestly, sometimes I have to go to people because I am a single parent, you know, and go, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Is this right, true or not true? Like, this is where I am. Can you help me process? This happened the other day with a friend, and she was like, everything's fine. Everything's good. And so I think, again, it goes back to having people in our life who we're doing life with. And I get it. Special needs parents, it's hard, but it is doable.
Yeah.
And it's so critical that we're not out here, you know, doing this by ourselves, because we need people who can speak that truth. Sometimes when I am so up in my head, I need someone else to come in and speak that truth to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I can't do that.
And just standing in, sometimes you just have to stand in the face of that fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, the fear of you're going to die, you're going to burn up in this thing.
Can you imagine?
Thing.
Yeah.
And yet their response was, you know what? Even if we do, we're still not going to bow to you. And so it's kind of like, you know what? Even if worst case scenario happens, I'm not going to live in fear because I know my God is able. And even if he does it, even if his grand will and plan is I don't survive this, I'm still not going to succumb to that fear and doubt, because I know my God is good. I'm going to trust him. And you know, what was it that Jeff said? When you can't trust
God's actions, you must trust his heart.
Trust his heart.
Yeah.
That's so good and so true.
Yeah.
So hard.
You had no idea, but this is like a perfect segue into this whole series, because we're going to be moving into Even If, and we're actually going to be talking about that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how even they were like, look, even if we're going to trust you. And so we're going to unpack that in some of these other episodes coming up. So thank you so much. I kind of feel like we've really like, it's like all this dark and all the hard and all, but there's really, there is... there's so much joy that can come when we can be released from all of these what ifs and trust that God is sovereign, trust that he has good plans for our family. It's really easy to say that when you're outside of a crisis, but it's learning how to do that in the crisis. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about in some of these other episodes, is how do we live this out day in and day out as parents of children with disabilities, when the unexpected happens all the time, you know, in our lives, and when those scary moments happen, how can we be to the place of standing firm and saying, even if we're going to trust? So thank you for being part of this opening.
Yeah, well, thanks for this
series.
For sure.
And you can check out the series What If on the Rising Above website, and the series Even If also there on the website. And so check those out. And we'll be back next week with another episode in this new series of learning how to move from what if to even if.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Rising Above with Becky Davidson, created and produced by Rising Above Ministries. To learn more about us and our resources for special needs families, visit risingaboveministries.org or download our free app. If you've enjoyed listening and want to hear more, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. You can always share it to encourage a friend. And remember, joy can be found in every story.